pledge allegiance.
You go to Magna?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the accounts payable. That would be cycle date 8/28 through 9/1. The total of those are $269,371.56. Noted the county manager's reviewed and approved such.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Items of note, Tom?
Yes, several items to bring your attention. Payment to Baseline Engineering Corporation. This is from the IS pool budget, and this is for the fiber optic build project. This payment is $9,823.75, and the total approved cost for that project is $104,985, and total paid, including this payment, is $79,277.92, sorry about that. So it looks like we might be under budget even for a baseline contract. Payment to CMLRW Security. This is building and plant, and this is a Justice Center project for the card access readers and locking devices for the new facility. $7,100. Payment to Dara Rickert, doing business as CBNT Company. This is building and plant, and this is 20% down for cabinets for the extension kitchen remodel, $5,139.57. $5,000
on cabinets for the extension kitchen?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Well, doesn't sound that bad to me.
You know how small that room is? I mean, that's a 10 by 10 room.
I don't know. I just remember what my kitchen cabinets cost.
I understand that, too. I mean, I've seen the scam of those things. So, I mean, it is.
CBNT Company, this is local Dara Ricketts.
I think they're also changing the configuration of the kitchen a little bit, so there may be additional cabinets.
I think they're putting...
I just went, did a wet bar in my basement, and I went down to the Lowe's on I-70 by Glenwood and got stock cabinets for cheap.
That's relatively speaking.
Yeah.
No. Payment to, any other questions on that?
No.
Payment to Ennis Paint, Inc. And this is Yampa Valley Regional Airport, and this is purchase of paint for the airside marking of the pavement. $2,172.50. So paint is cheaper than cabinets. It's all relative.
Yes.
North Route Fire Protection District. This is wildfire budget, and this is for the Pilot Knob and Miller Creek fires, $2,322. And also West Route Fire Protection District. This is from the wildfire budget, and for the same fires, and Mill Creek was $13,931, Pilot Knob $1,071 for a total of $15,002.64. Payment to RCD Construction Inc. This is from Road and Bridge, and this is the replacement of the culvert structure on Fish Creek Falls Road. Payment of $94,195.30 of the $161,000 cost of that project or contract for that project.
Well, is that where Nick Metzler dug in the road wrongly, or?
No, this was, remember Mike? Road and Bridge?
Yeah.
Okay, that didn't have anything to do with this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So this is the project we had planned to budget this year to replace that culvert. And because of the timing of the contractor, it was supposed to have been done back in the spring, but there was some confusion on the part of the contractor, but it is complete. It is halfway complete now. And just want to let you know that because of the restriction on amounts of Elan credit cards, you may have noticed my Elan credit card was used for some purchases from Amazon and hotels for the Planning Commission. You may not have known that part of it, but Neither one of those departments have enough credit on their credit card to actually make this themselves. So they worked through Helena to use my county credit card for those purchases.
The Amazon was the building department buying cell boosters for the vehicles for the inspectors.
Yes, thank you. I had that note. Mobile web boosters.
Cell boosters, so their internet signal that they use iPads and that sort of thing, or be able to call in from inspections when they're out in far field areas that they don't have cells. They're about 400 apiece.
The efficiencies of modern day technology.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's just, you know, saving people. I'm sure we're saving people.
Because I'm sure that our customers that are using the building department that are building like that house off of County Road 5 want to have that ability to know right away whether or not they passed an inspection.
It's actually more for the inspector. If the inspector doesn't have a signal, he can't pull up the plans, and they don't have enough space on their iPads to actually store the plans for a lot of these projects.
So can you actually see something off those iPads like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're
yeah, they pull up the plans and kind of move them around and yeah. So
good for that. Yep.
All right, we have a motion and a second and expressions of happiness about the
this is a wonderful day. Cap's
payable.
Here we are on Tuesday in wonderful America.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. There are no items of note from yesterday because we did not meet yesterday due to the Labor Day holiday.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Do you have the book?
Have a seat.
My name is John DeNicholas, South Route, Stagecoach. I'm just wondering if there's any status or update on what's happening with Morrison Creek and the State Water as far as wells.
So I'd say the short answer is that we know that the Morrison Creek Water and Sanitation District has issued a moratorium on the issuance of any new vault permits. We believe that's in anticipation of what they believe a ruling will be coming from the State Division Engineer's Office. But we don't know what that ruling is at this time, so we're kind of in a holding pattern. We've been told that by the end of the month, the Division Engineer will be issuing a ruling regarding the issuance of new well permits in that area. So
it's probably affirming what you already know. What we know is what we don't know. Yeah. And what we know, really, we don't know.
that was what I think Doug said that much more articulately than I was trying to say.
It's just like
PIO.
If we figure out what they're going to do, then we'll figure out how we're going to deal with it.
Okay.
I mean, we're concerned about, you know, and private property rights and the peoples that have had those lots and the subdivision approved in 72 and the rest. And
was there any information when Tom came and I was on my way?
You really need to listen to the tape.
I would say
really,
I would say
informative.
I would say that 90% of it was stuff I think that we already basically knew and understood. There were some really interesting nuances, and the most interesting one to me was the transbasin diversion of
effluent
so that the vaults, the water that is being used to produce the effluent is coming out of one creek drainage.
Mm-hmm.
The Little Morrison.
Okay.
But that stuff, by virtue of it being transported to the Morrison Creek Water and Sanitation District,
uh-huh.
They're not returning that water to the basin from which it came.
Is that okay?
No, not really. It creates another deficit of water in that basin.
So, you know, I think the situation is we need to figure out what the ruling is. And then,
right.
And she's going to put it in writing.
She's going to put it in writing. But it's not only this. I mean, Steamboat Lake is at risk, too.
Right.
I mean, there's not going to
be. And Tom is really at odds with Aaron on this right now, right?
Was on that ERISA interpretation.
Legal interpretation, yes.
ERISA.
Okay.
So, and then I guess the other thing, and I meant to say that during that meeting, is when I asked Aaron, I said, well, when will we see the ruling? And she said, oh, well, we should have it by the end of September, you know, after the Attorney General's office has had a chance to review it. And I remember thinking to myself, right, you guys are going to get a ruling issued, reviewed by the state AG's office, and then reviewed by the division and back out. I seriously doubt that we'll see a ruling by the end of September.
But I guess, well, how can they change the rules and just put all these people in limbo until they've, why don't they just continue operating the way they were until the new ruling comes out? So that,
well, they're just not going to sign off. Morrison Creeks can't sign off on any more permits because they don't know whether. In fact, there was only, during their discussion, there was two instances. One of them is the one that we've discussed where
the two wells.
Exactly.
And then there's just one other.
One other that they had already been issued a permit but yet hadn't drilled the well. You
know? I thought it was prudent for them to stop issuing well permits. It makes perfect sense. Why would they issue well permits when they cannot guarantee to that customer that they can have a well?
But the law of the land ought to be the law of the land until it's changed in writing.
But
I mean, that's what's really annoying.
Yeah, but I mean, I can understand
why about changing our minds and changing our rules.
But
so
I think
everyone just get into a holding pattern until we figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why Mars.
Interesting. Now is Eric's opinion.
They're not obligated to provide this.
Sure.
So yeah, I think from the county's perspective, we're anxiously awaiting to see what the ruling is, because at a minimum, our planning department at least has to be able to tell people when they come in looking for a building permit or looking for the ability to consolidate 5-acre lots.
And drill a well.
Yeah.
Are you being held up right now?
No. I do own an undeveloped lot in Morningside, but I also own a house with a well and a vault in High Cross. So, but I'm on the SPOA board. I'm also representing the High Cross Association. So just trying to find out. There's one person up there in Overland who's trying to consolidate lots.
Yeah, that's what we're worried about, I think, more than anything. Because the bottom line is that I don't know what Brown County is going to be able to do about the situation. I think we're just sitting here waiting to see what happens and then making sure that we're telling our constituents the truth about what's going on.
Well, that's what I'm also, it hasn't been made public realistically, and that's the part that's a little scary to me, because there's still lots being sold out there.
Well, and we asked, I mean, there was a couple of realtors here, and I asked them you guys have a new weight, added weight on your responsibility of, you know, being in your due diligence and saying, hey, you know, there might be an issue with being able to get a well permit here on lot consolidation. So that was acknowledged. And I don't know whether, I guess we'll figure out, but, you know, might be something we end up sending a letter to the realtor board, you know, too.
I mean, I think my wife was out of town. She came back, and I told her about it. She said, we've known about this for a long time. So I tell everybody, don't buy anything.
Mall change.
Talk to Parsons, Water and Sanitation District.
call the
division engineer.
SPOA put out an email from John Troca. So
absolutely, and we knew about that, too, and we thought that was quite appropriate as well. So,
yeah.
But it is a big deal. There's no question about that.
Yeah, you know, there's plenty of lots out there that have been in limbo, and now they're no longer in limbo.
I suppose that's the good news.
Yeah, sort of. But, hey, thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, John.
Are you here for public comment as well?
I am not, no. She's here for advocates.
Okay. Oh, okay. You know, we could probably just move right ahead.
Yeah.
I think, come on up.
Laura Cantway Graham, representing advocates today. Diane apologizes for not being able to make it.
Nice to meet
you.
Nice
to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys, too.
This is Doug Monger, Tim Corrigan, Carrie Hermosinski.
Great to meet you guys. So
you are here for our approval and authorization to sign a letter on behalf of Advocates Against Battering and Abuse supporting the Emergency Shelter Grant. Care to expand
that is
on that?
Correct. Emergency Shelter Grant is a grant that Advocates has had for over 15 years now. It helps support the maintenance and care of our shelter operation here in town for victims of domestic violence. This year we are asking for $15,000 from the Emergency Shelter Grant, and are looking for your continued support of advocates in helping the citizens of Rock County.
Great. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve and authorize your signature on a letter on behalf of Advocates Against Battering and Abuse supporting the emergency
Second.
We have a motion and a second. So just a question here.
Yes, sir.
This is a grant that Rock County provides to advocates, or is
no,
this?
No, they need our sign-off. So, yeah.
Just our your sign-off.
Okay, so who's who's providing the...
It's the emergency shelter grant, which is part of...
From who does that come from?
Federal government.
Okay.
So based out of, yeah.
That was my question.
Federal government money, yes, correct.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We are here for our 11 o'clock items with Helena Taylor, our administrative assistant. You have a couple of items for us, Helena?
I do. The first is we're asking you to sign a resolution. This is in regards to the recognizing the Yampa Egeria. Recognizing the Yampa Egeria Historical Society as an entity representing the Yampa Fund District and the Museum and Heritage Mill Levy instead of the Yampa, the town of Yampa. This happened back when the was formed. Yampa Egeria did not have their 501c3, and since May, they finally got it, and now we'll be transferring the mill levy directly to them versus going through the town of Yampa and then returning. This has been reviewed by our county attorney. I've also communicated this with the county, and we will start this process as of October 1st. They say that it's a pretty simple process. They didn't have an issue with it.
So does the town of Yampa have any unexpended funds? Are they going to transfer them to the new entity as well?
Yes. Yeah. And they normally do. They just manage, you know, the funds. They normally...
They had already been going to this entity?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I don't already. Care about it.
Yeah.
All right, but,
so, and Rita Harrell is the person, our contact person for the new entity now.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve Resolution 2017-043, a resolution recognizing the Yampa Egeria Historical Society Incorporated as a successor organization for the Yampa Fund District and directing the Museum and Heritage Fund mill levy disbursements for the Yampa Fund District be distributed to the Yampa Egeria Historical Society and authorize your signature on that.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 I guess I would also say that worked exceptionally well, how that happened. I'm surprised. Not that, I mean, you know, when we had a problem when we set up the mill levy in the first place, if there wasn't a 501c3, and Yampa stepped up. And
that's how it happened?
That's how it happened.
Okay.
And so, and
it's kind of nice that they actually got something.
They got something, yeah. So
yeah.
It's great.
Took them a little bit, but they got it. Yeah.
Yep, great.
Cool. And my second item is also related to the museum board. Back in April 2016, you had tabled an item related to the that the Museum and Heritage Fund Advisory Board had recommended approval. This was related to the Yampa Valley Land Trust through Historic Rao County, a $6,000 grant to help with the Raider Ranch restoration. We had at the time issues with the public access, and it has been months in working, and finally the Yampa Valley Land Trust has decided to withdraw the request. They also withdrew their request from the state fund, I was told. So I'm just here to ask you to accept their withdrawal and return the $6,000 back to the capacity building grant for other entities to utilize.
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the withdrawal of the Museum and Heritage Capacity Building Grant sponsored by Historic Rock County for the Raider Ranch in the amount of $6,000.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
I think we, Tom.
Yeah, and then we can go right into Moat, right?
Yeah.
Because he's
sure.
He's got time to get back to.
Yeah, and so we do have this 11:10 item.
Don't those things just shut off at night?
Obviously, they didn't.
So let's go ahead and move forward with our 11:10 item. Approval of a pay scale for our new Department of Human Services Director, Tom.
Yes, thank you. As you know, went through a process to receive applications and resumes for Department of Human Services Director, and over several months, or actually had 15 resumes, applications that were received. Dan Weinheimer and I went through the process to review all of the applications. We narrowed it down originally to 6 finalists, and then from there, after doing writing the exercise, narrowed it down to 4, and then finally interviewed 2 finalists for the position. And I'm pleased to state that offered the position to our top candidate, Kelly Keith of Summit County. Kelly has been 14 years in the human services, providing human services. Several different programs, 2 different counties, as well as some nonprofits, but also 11 years of those 14, she has been in a supervisory role. All of those, her levels of experience, along with her education, which includes a bachelor's degree in social work, as well as a master's in business administration and a master's of science in operational management. As well as her certifications in human services that exceed the minimum qualifications by enough to qualify her for step 5 of the pay scale. And so my offer to her was at step 5 with pending your approval, and then also a 6-month increase after a performance review after those first 6 months, and that would be at the 2018 pay scale. So again, at this point, we have plenty of funds in the human services budget, including under that salary, since Vicki Clark was at step 11 of that pay scale, and we'll be bringing Ms. Keith in at step 5. Any questions? Glad to answer any question you may have.
Performance goals? You said, you know,
yes.
The step 6 based on the completion of performance goals.
That's correct.
So what are those?
Well, we haven't set those. Once she gets on board here, we will sit down and establish those performance goals. They're different for every department head that comes in, but probably some of it will be able to take on that role of any duties that happen between now and that 6 months, you know, implementing the DHS budget. Because once you, before too much longer, it's already in September, and we do have the budget for human services that I think you're going to be receiving.
Yeah, we're going to spend half the afternoon.
So it's going to be learning.
Fire training with the human services budget.
So that will be one of the goals, I'm sure, is to understand that budget and be able to transition
so
it into the department.
Again, I'm all right with that. I would be nice to see that. In written form when you get it done.
It will be put in writing, yes.
That way we can know that, you know, and feel affirmed that she's achieved those goals to be moving
sure.
from step 5 to step 6.
And right. So, we'll put them in writing, yes, sir.
You're up.
I don't know. Chris, have anything to say?
No, I reviewed Tom's recommendation and went through her resume and agreed with everything that Tom stated.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the starting salary for Kelly Keith as the Human Services Director at Step 5 of the 2017 pay scale for the position and authorize an increase to Step 6 with the completion of the performance goals and the 6-month performance review.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 I'm Scott, Chair.